Welcome to the Rotor Report. It's brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. I want to tackle a number of topics today. We'll start with the Cleveland Indians as they begin their second half of the season, and they did so in pretty impressive fashion, taking 3 out of 4 on the road at Detroit. So a good start for the Tribe, but they still remain 5.5 games behind the Central Division leading Tigers. But if you look overall in Major League Baseball, Bud Selig in his final year as commissioner has to be thrilled with what's happening in Major League Baseball. That lead by the Tigers, the 5.5 game lead over the Indians, is the biggest lead in any division in all of Major League Baseball. It's the biggest lead in the AL. When you jump over to the National League, the biggest division lead is, well, they have 3 divisions with 2 teams tied for first place. So there really is no lead. There's 2 teams in each division in the NL that are tied for first place. Then you look at the wild card races in the American League. 6 teams are within 3.5 games of the wild card spot, the final wild card spot. There's 2 of them. Remember that now. So 6 teams within 3.5 games of that final wild card spot. In the National League, there are 8 teams within 3 games of that final wild card spot. So Bud Selig smiling from ear to ear. Parity in Major League Baseball, a number of different teams with a chance to either win their division or make the playoffs as the number 1 wild card or the number 2 wild card team. And because of that, so many teams still in the running, it's going to be interesting to see what happens before July 31st, Major League Baseball's trading deadline. The Indians are a team, in my opinion, okay, they need to go out and make some moves if they're going to seriously contend, not just for a playoff spot, but for a World Series championship this year. They're still in it. They're right there. They're knocking on the door with one of the wild card spots and 5.5 games in the AL Central with a lot of games left to be played. So if they're serious about making a run, to me, they need to go get one of these 2 things, preferably both, but I'm being realistic. But they need either a power bat to hit 4th or 5th in the lineup, or a starting pitcher, a number 1, a number 2, or a number 3, preferably a 1 or a 2. So as I look at their team right now and look at their weaknesses, that to me is what stands out the most. They don't have a legitimate, true power hitter to hit cleanup or even 5th. And they don't have an ace on this staff this year. Masterson, will he become that ace when he comes back from the knee injury? Let's hope so. But you really don't have an ace. Corey Kluber's been outstanding this year, but I wouldn't qualify him as an ace just yet. So for me, the only guy untouchable in my farm system is Francisco Lindor. Everyone else, I think they should be in play, whether that's Danny Salazar, Tyler Naquin, whoever gets you a legitimate number 1 or 2 or a legitimate number 4 hitter in your lineup. So if I'm Chris Antonetti, if I'm Mark Shapiro, those are the areas that I'm looking at over the next, today's July 21st, over the next 10 days to try and make a deal to improve this team to in turn improve their chances in the AL Central as well as in the AL wildcard race. Let's jump over to the Cleveland Browns training camp just around the corner. And I said this all along and I'm sticking to my guns. It's good to hear that Brian Hoyer has been cleared for 11 on 11s as training camp begins. That's good because if it were me, Brian Hoyer is my starting quarterback when camp opens. He's my starting quarterback for the first preseason game against the Detroit Lions on August 9th. And he's my starting quarterback for the first game Sunday, September 7th at Pittsburgh. I start with the veteran, the proven commodity. Yes, last year we only got a small sample size. But this is a guy who has played in the NFL before. He's learned under Belichick. He's learned under Brady. He had 2.25 good starts for the Browns last year in which they won all 3 games. I think he's earned the right to be their starting quarterback. The way I would handle it, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, if I'm Ray Farmer and company, I start him game 1, game 2, game 3. The first 3 games at Pittsburgh, home against New Orleans, home against Baltimore. And then in week number 4, which is Sunday, September 28th, it's a bye week for the Cleveland Browns. Then you evaluate your quarterback position and see where Brian Hoyer is, where Johnny Manziel is from what you see in practice and where the team is. You evaluate it during the bye week, and then you determine, all right, do we move forward with Brian Hoyer because things are going well, or if you have any questions or concerns or you're not happy with the quarterback play or the team's play, then I think you make the switch after the bye week, and that would be week 5, but it's game number 4 for the Browns on the road at Tennessee. That's when I would make the change, if a change is necessary, to go to Johnny Manziel as the quarterback, only if Brian Hoyer and the Browns struggle through the first 3 games. Now, speaking of Johnny Manziel, just came out today that his jersey, his number 2 jersey, is the number 1 selling jersey in the first quarter of the NFL's fiscal year. Number 1 selling jersey of every player in the National Football League, ahead of Russell Wilson, ahead of Peyton Manning, ahead of Drew Brees, ahead of Michael Sam, who was number 6, Teddy Bridgewater, who was 13, Jadeveon Clowney, who was 16. Number 1 selling jersey. However, just because his jersey sells doesn't mean he can play yet in the National Football League. And as tempted as the Browns might be to start him day number 1 from a publicity standpoint, I think it would not be a wise move for his career. I think you bring him along slowly, let his jerseys sell, and when the time comes, and like I said, the earliest that would be for me is game number 4 at Tennessee. If that's the time, then you put him in and his jerseys will sell even more, but bring him along slowly. That is the way I would approach Johnny Manziel. All right, let's go to the Cavaliers, because everybody's still talking about LeBron James coming back and what is going to happen next. Are they going to get Kevin Love? What is David Griffin going to do in order to get Kevin Love? Who is he willing to give up? Is he willing to give up Andrew Wiggins? Is he going to hold out and try and keep Andrew Wiggins and make Minnesota take a couple of other players and some draft picks? If I'm David Griffin, I'm doing everything I can to get Kevin Love, but without giving up Andrew Wiggins. And for me, if that means waiting until the NBA trading deadline, then so be it. I don't give in to Minnesota's demands unless, and this is the one way I probably would, unless LeBron James is demanding that Griff get it done before the season starts. Then you might have to cave in and give in to Minnesota's demands and LeBron James' demands. Now, if I'm Griff, I'm talking to LeBron and saying, look, LeBron, I understand we're doing everything we can, but you've got to understand that if we can keep Wiggins and still get Love, how much better that's going to make us. We're going to do everything we can to get Kevin Love, but it may not be at the beginning of the season. We may have to wait till into the season, before the trading deadline, to pull that trigger when we'll have the leverage and not Minnesota. Now, you also have to take into consideration other teams out there, what they might be willing to give up for Kevin Love, and if that becomes a factor, then obviously you might have to speed up your process in trading for him. And it sure as hell didn't help David Griffin and the Cavaliers that Coach Mike Krzyzewski told John Feinstein on his radio show that he wouldn't hesitate for a second to trade for Kevin Love. He said he's an all-star, he's a double-double guy who can spread the court, space the floor, he's young, he's 25, and to use Mike Krzyzewski's own words, I love Kevin Love. So Coach K would trade for him in a heartbeat, even if that meant giving up Andrew Wiggins. I would love to have had John Feinstein follow up with this question after he asked about the Love trade for Wiggins. Hey, Coach K, would you be saying the same thing about that if the Cavaliers had Jabari Parker? He didn't follow up with that question. It was the question that needed to be asked, but he elected not to do that. But Coach K giving high praise to Kevin Love. In fact, he talked about the upcoming Olympics, saying that he expects the leadership roles on his team to come from Kevin Durant and Kevin Love. So that's high praise from Mike Krzyzewski. And right now, Flip Saunders should be sending him a bottle of champagne, some cigars, or whatever Coach K likes, because he may have upped the ante for Kevin Love in favor of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So there's your Roto Report. It was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444 or check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.